Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 171. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on over there, Nate?
I'm having a good time.
He's like two-stepping or something with his hands.
I saw something out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, wait a minute.
It's like the clapper thing for film.
Is that what that was?
I gotcha.
I thought you were doing like a TikTok.
I was like, he's TikToking over there.
Just season.
Right.
TikTok, you
call 911.
You doing all right, Nate?
Yeah, doing good.
Good. Sean, how you doing?
I'm excellent.
Good. And Winston.
How's Winston? Winston's good. He's awesome.
If you could hear it through the mic.
Yeah, he's doing good. He's all nice and not pretty. He's handsome. He's
beautiful. Him so pretty.
No. Girls are
got his locks shaved.
Yeah. Good. That's
you
good.
Said he all smelled good, right? Up.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
I know we don't ask it. Hey Todd, how are you doing?
I'm terrible.
No, you're not. You're
lousy.
I'm doing well, and last week I was not doing well.
Yeah.
So I was.
We're glad to have you back.
Man, it was a rough week.
So. We had to have these boys in here, and it was just nuts, man.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Good job. Yeah.
Well, we had Micah Campbell.
I'm sorry.
Who we love, right?
Sorry.
We owe him an apology. No, we don't.
No, he did well. He's a funny guy, and it sounded great. Both episodes without me is whatever.
We had fun while you were gone, but Nate and I agreed on and off air and all around that we missed you.
It's always the trifecta.
It's not the same.
I chuckled a few times.
It just isn't the same.
I really did when
we were picking fun at you, poking fun at you.
Poking fun. Whatever it takes. Picking poking.
We're gonna make this fun, work with laughter.
Yeah, let's make fun of Todd. It was bad. Saturday I started getting sick, and then Sunday, my gosh, I just sore throat, and then I just had that constant junk in my throat, my chest, and
instead
so nasty
of in,
cough.
Instead of in your trunk.
I had junk in my throat, not junk. I definitely have never had junk in my trunk.
So by Monday you're sicker.
Sicker, yeah. So then Tuesday, I was like, Charisse, can we reschedule? I cannot really talk. So, but I'm glad I'm not perfect. I am perfect.
No, who are you kidding?
No, I feel a lot better. So, and then my wife comes home tonight. She goes, when you had that junk, that's the sore throat or stuff, she's like, did you have a really bad headache? I'm like, no, not really. But anyway, I think now she's getting sick. Oh. So. But that's okay. That's okay. She's tough. I'm glad to be back, though. I did miss you guys, and you did an excellent job and on the episodes. I enjoyed them. So, and looking at the numbers, we're 2.5 hours in. I think we're almost at 70 downloads already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And they're all Micah.
Yeah. No, it was fun. It is glad to be back. So, anyway, we are here. Got a little ad to read.
Yes.
Our sponsor. Yeah. Mango butter, jojoba, shea butter, avocado, grapeseed, and many other ingredients is what makes Cultured Creature Beard Balm, a beard product that will make your beard feel soft, smell masculine, and look great. There are awesome scent options such as Cuban tobacco, sandalwood, and bourbon, cedar and leather, and many more to choose from. Feel confident at the gym, the office, or out on the town with Cultured Creature Beard Balm. And it's so easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palms and work it into your beard. It's just that simple and effective. And even better, there is no mess. Ready to transform your beard? Just go to refineyourwildside.com and enter special discount code MAACO10, that's MAACO10, for 10% off your first order. Plus, Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's a total savings of 30% off of your first order. What are you waiting for? Go to Cultured Creature Beard Balm, enter MAACO10, that's MAACO10, for 10% off plus the already 20% off on your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Check them out. What do you think about that?
I like it a lot.
Nate, didn't you say you need to get some?
Yes, yes.
You'll get you some?
Yep. As soon as I have free time to actually look and purchase.
I understand. So, you know, and this episode is going to drop a week after, but it's not just for, you know, Father's Day. Just, hey, whatever. Birthdays. Uh-huh. Every day. Uh-huh. If the day ends in, you know, a Y, get it. Get it for your man. And get it for yourself. How about that? Culture Creature Beard Balm.
I like it. CCBB.
CCBB. That's right. Double C, double B.
I like it.
Anyway, thank you for your sponsorship, by the way. We love that. Look at here. Would you look at it? Just look at it. Nate,
I'm looking.
You have a little segment here. Can you read it for us, please?
Yes. New little addition. This week's last but not least goes out to France and Blairsville, Pennsylvania. They are listed last on the list of listeners with one listen each. So thank you for that. Thanks for giving us a listen. And remember, you're not least because you're last.
What do you think about that? So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I said self. No, I looked at the totals. I'm like, let me see who's literally the last on the list. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that might be a new segment.
Our friends in France, huh?
France
in
is
in Pennsylvania.
Of all the countries.
I'm from France.
And then, and what was it to? Oh, Blairsville. And I thought,
Where the witch is?
Now, there's a bunch of towns and cities that have one listen, and then there's a few countries, but mm-hmm. France was last.
The last.
And at this time, I looked at Blairsville, Pennsylvania, was last on the list, but they're not.
But we're
not least.
Giving you.
Last but not least.
Lots of love.
Hey, one listen's one listen.
So I thought, as a kind of a fun little segment, and I thought our man Nate could read it, and just to show that we appreciate that one download. That's.
Do you think this is know? So. You think Chicago's going to put on the brakes all of a sudden to try to get down to one?
You know, Chicago does not have. We don't have that.
I mean, I know. There's no way.
There is 0% chance. I don't know why it's still. It's showing over 4,000
from the government.
There's no way.
VPN.
Not even half that. I guarantee it's not half that. Even.
I think it's
probably not even a third.
The NSA. You think it's the government?
I don't know what it
government.
Is.
Government.
But
Russia.
Whoever's listening in Chicago, thank you. But you're not one of 4,000 downloads. I'm sorry. For a 7-day period, no.
It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe for the 3 years we've done it. So anyway, so we're going to call that the last but not least segment. Mm-hmm. So Nate, good job on that. Mm-hmm. The inaugural.
Nicely done.
So and pretty much every week we do this. It'll be a most the countries, who knows it. There's not like a ton, but gosh, we have so many towns and cities that'll be changed. You know, it'll be kind of fun to see what town or city mm-hmm. we mentioned. So thank you for listening. So we'll take it. Sean, first announcements, please.
I have them over here. We come together every week to record. This is guy time, paranormal time, creepy time. Lots and lots of fun. We do it all the time. But the most important thing that we do is continue to build a mental health community. We want you to get help out there so you can call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text home to 741-741 for professional help. And if you or anyone you know is experiencing some sort of bullying, make sure to access stopbullying.gov for more help and support.
Thank you. And you know, this month is Men's Mental Health Month.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Mental Health Month? Did I say Mint? Men's Mental Health Month.
That's right.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I posted some stuff on social media. So we wanted to mention that, but don't just wait for June to come around. It's every day should be, and women too, you know. Got to take your mental health and spiritual, physical, and all that.
That's right.
Thank you, Sean, for that. Oh, my gosh. Look at this. Would you look at it?
Again, we got to look at it?
Okay. Dad joke of the show.
I'm not looking.
Nate. I'm sorry you didn't say I'm not looking and listening. Nate, I know you're excited, so calm down.
I am.
Well, that's what he was doing earlier when he was getting ready for the dad joke. That's mm-hmm. why I understand. So the other day, the owner of the tuxedo shop that I was going into, the owner kept hovering over me when I was browsing, so I asked him to leave me alone. He said, fine, suit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, suit yourself,
I like it.
Nate.
I think he's refusing you a service.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I was looking at tuxedos, and he said, fine. I said, beat it, scram. Yeah. That's the dad joke.
That's a good one.
Of the show. It was good.
It is good.
That's good.
Were there any penguins in there?
No penguins.
Dang.
No. I like penguins.
No, you like penguins? I like the Pittsburgh Penguins.
They're impeccable dressers, right?
They missed the playoffs for 2 years in a row. That's all right. Oh, anyway, that's the dad joke of the show. So, by the way, I have a bone to pick with you. Not you specifically, but your group of people. They didn't get my joke from last week.
What are you talking
about? The pirate.
Oh, yes.
Why is there a paper roll of paper towel? Because I have a bounty on my head. Bounty
paper
towel.
It was funny. The people, yeah, and they were like,
"That's a great joke." I laugh when I.
That's a good one.
I'm going to need that explained to me. Is their response?
They missed the whole bounty part.
They knew they were just being stupid
jerks.
Yeah. exactly right. Yeah.
Do they listen to the show?
I don't think so.
Good. They're jerks.
All right. Yeah.
I don't want if they're not going to get my dad joke or appreciate it, I don't want
some of them do it at work, but yeah, not those two specific ones.
They're jerks.
The bigger picker upper.
That's right. Something like that.
There is a.
But I honestly, I was listening to the episode and I'm like, I cracked up. I thought, that's great. There's a bounty on me head.
There's a movement for people from my work to come to our live show. So
okay.
I know there's at least a few that are going to come. And it could they're trying to get a big group.
And they're just waiting to buy tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Or it might be day of show. I told them that.
Oh, that's fine.
Movements aren't always good.
Like the bowel kind? posterior.
Sometimes movements. They are. It depends on... You know, get some relief out. Yeah.
Depends on the situation, I guess.
It depends. Anyway, that's the dad joke. Shout-outs. Sean, any shout-outs?
Yeah, those two people that didn't get the dad joke. No, okay. I'm totally kidding. Yeah.
Calling them out. It's not a shout-out. It's a call-out.
Weirdos. What do you mean you don't get the joke? Do you have any shout-outs?
No. I do not.
No shout-outs?
No.
No shout-outs for you?
I'm going to go shout-outless.
Okay. Nate, any? Any from you? No shout-outs? Anybody think of?
How about a shout-out to Claire for through surgery?
Oh, yeah. She did. She did. I think I talked about it the last time, but, yeah, she did get through surgery on Friday. So
Broken
looking
finger,
good.
Right?
I sent you guys a picture of it. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. She looked happy.
She had a pink. Yeah, she looked about like she normally does. That's Harrison goes, is she angry? And I go, no, that's just her normal face.
No, she's actually ecstatic.
she felt good.
Oh, she's excited. Give me sad. Give me.
Right, exactly.
She's kind of like Michael Myers. You know, the happy, the sad, the angry. It's all the same.
I do. We probably should shout out our sons and Landon too for helping
us out. Shout out to them. Yeah.
And they helped us out last week. And then Micah, of course. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Micah.
No shout out
to Micah. Sorry, Micah.
That was your shout outs. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the birthday boy here. He's going to be having a birthday tomorrow.
Who? The guy behind
13th,
me?
What'd you say? 45?
45.
Whoa, yeah. you're officially in your mid 40s.
Peak of my 40s, right? 40s, I told Jenna this, and she's like, how you feeling? I go, 40s sucks. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hated the 40s.
My 40, yeah. I was trying to think about the last good year I had. I'm sorry, I hate to say that because it's good, but I'm like 41, 41, 41 and a half, I think. And I was like.
Yeah, somebody the other day, I hit a brick podcast, wall. And they said they hated their 40s, and they was miserable. He's like, now he's in his mid-50s. He's like, it's great. He's like,
yeah, I feel like I'm.
Actually, yeah.
There's some good stuff on the horizon, so I think I'm starting to feel better. It's all good. It is all good.
Yeah,
but yeah. So far, they've sucked.
Starting to catch your stride.
Yeah, I keep falling
starting
over.
To really find his way.
Absolutely.
Finally getting this life thing figured out.
No, not so much.
Who was it? Somebody was talking about them turning. So a friend of mine, his stepdaughter, she's 29 and she just moved back home from Colorado and. Kind of a mess or whatever she has been. Just trying to figure it out. Like you said, just trying to figure it out. I said, I'm 53 and I'm still trying to figure it out. So she's well ahead of me. Yep. She's got 24 years on me. So that's how it goes, man. So no, it's good, and bad. And all.
I appreciate it. And truly, I'm grateful. Honestly, I sound pretty down in the mouth about it, but I'm not. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to be here, quite honestly.
All right, well, to be fair. Yeah, I think you're going to make it to what, 43, 44,
right. Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. I went down at 43, right? Yeah.
Whew. Yeah, I get it. No, so happy early birthday.
Thank you.
And I know this is going to be after again, but just want to say happy Father's Day, free Father's Day to you guys.
Absolutely,
And happy Father's Day. Yeah. So I know people are going to listen to this afterwards. So whenever they do, I hope every dad out there had a good and fun Father's Day. So.
And I was going to say Heavenly Fathers, which Heavenly Father and
absolutely.
And our Fathers in Heaven. That's
mm-hmm.
I meant that both ways.
Absolutely. So special announcements time. Hey, guess what? We're having a Mako meet and greet. I'm really excited about this one. Uh-huh. It's scheduled for Saturday, August 10th. This will be at the horror-themed Scarlet Lane Brewery in McCordsville, Indiana, just about an hour north here or so, or 45 minutes. We'll show up about 4 o'clock. We're not sure when we're going to be there. I guess they'll just have to kick us out, basically.
Not till I meet Cemetery.
That's right. Scarlet Lane Brewery. Now, they offer great pizza and, of course, handcrafted beer for your spooky delight. At this location. They also have the original Sammy Terry dungeon, the set that, gosh, since the, I think, 1965-ish, somewhere in there. He was a local horror, like a B-movie type host. And, yeah, look him up, listeners, even if you're out of state or whatever, look up Sammy Terry, and you'll know who we're talking about. His son has taken over and does really a good job. But they have this dungeon set at the McCoorsville location. But anyway, we were having the meet and greet there. It's going to be fun because it's going to be different. So Nick is who I've been talking to, very easygoing guy, and he said, "Yeah, come out and hang with you know." And hopefully, we get to meet some creepies, right? And of course, the Creeped Out and Haunted Live Show 2024. It's at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. It's going to be Saturday, September 21st, starting at 6 o'clock. Arrival time starts at 5:15. We have our special guest speaker and friend. He is a paranormal investigator and author, Mr. Austin Lawrence. He's going to be there showing some footage of his past investigations. Tickets are only $10, and they can be pre-purchased, or you can buy them at the day of the show. You can pay through PayPal, which is at TWHedges312, Venmo at Todd-Hedges-3, and the Cash App is $ToddWilliam12. And then good old cash works as well. So we hope you come out to Greenwood Happy Haunts for the Creeped Out and Haunted live show. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
And it's actually, we're only getting about 3 months away.
Yep.
So it's getting
right around the corner.
That's right. That's all the special announcements. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
We just had an amazing guest chat with paranormal investigator, author, and spiritual guide, Charisse Williams. And if interested, go check out our show notes for the source links we use for this discussion. Enjoy, Creepies.
Hey, Creepies. We have a special guest for this episode. She is an author, spiritual guide, and paranormal investigator. She comes to us from the great state of Ohio. Let's bring on Charisse Williams. Charisse, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
We are great. I'll let Nate and Sean say hi to you.
Hi, Charisse.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
So, yeah, so you you have a lot on your plate. You've got all kinds of stuff under your name. So let's get right into it. So starting out, is the paranormal and the supernatural, is that something you've always been interested in? Like, you know, maybe is it something like growing up, or is it when you became an adult? Is it something you got into? Kind of tell our listeners how you got into this fun, creepy stuff.
I have liked things creepy for as long as I can possibly remember. I remember being a little kid, and I always say I was probably far younger than I should have been to have been hearing the stories my dad was telling me, but he would tell me scary stories, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I think that's where my love of the creepy stuff kind of started. Read all the scary stories, tell them the dark books and all of that. And then when I was 7, I saw my first ghost, and I was, of course, a little like, what the heck did I see? But instead of being like creeped out about it, it really just fueled something. And I was like, what was that? Like, can I see that again? Can I learn about this? And yeah, so it's been a lifelong thing.
Wow. 7 years old.
Did you grow up in a haunted house? Cause that's what we need to know. That seems to be like a running theme with a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, kind of, it was my grandma's house, but I spent so much time there. I mean, it was pretty much like my second house, and it was haunted. So I had all kinds of experiences growing up.
Wow. Is that something were they aware of that, your grandparents, or is it?
They were. So the night that I saw the ghost, and it was a ghost of a child because he was a little bit taller than I was at the time. And I told my aunt about it. I was actually in her room waiting for her to come in so we could go to bed. And she comes in the room and I was like, I think I saw something. She's like, what did you see? And I told her, and she was like, well, so the house is haunted. And I'm like, what? She's like, we just didn't say anything in hopes that maybe you never noticed or whatever. Like, we didn't want to freak you out. But she told me that, yep, it was absolutely haunted. And she told me some of the experiences that they had. And then it was like, after that moment, it was just kind of a regular thing of seeing shadow figures, hearing knocks on the doors, electronics turning on and off by themselves.
I don't think I ever paid attention enough to see any of that.
Really? Yeah, did you go to the haunted house?
No.
Oh.
But just.
Well, then maybe that's why
it could have been.
Yeah. I don't know.
I grew up in a completely unhaunted house. No idea why I didn't see shadow people.
Yeah, I was always busy playing G.I. Joes and whatever else, and yeah. I just never focused on anything like that. Never even crossed my mind.
So well, maybe
it would always happen to us when we weren't paying attention.
Right.
Like my cousins and I would be playing Nintendo in one of the bedrooms, and we'd hear a knock on the door, and we'd open the door immediately, and there'd be nobody there, and we're like, what the heck? And we'd shut the door, and it would do it like 3 or 4 times in a row. But it was always when we weren't paying attention at all.
Wow. Yeah, 7 years old, I'm thinking,
that's young.
My gosh, I was playing with Star Wars, and you know, we had a basketball court in the backyard, so I'm either playing sports or my toys, my guys. Yeah, a ghost could have walked. I mean, our house could have been haunted, and I would have not paid attention.
Yeah.
So that's why. Is it? You said like, well, how old was like was it one of those old houses like from the 1800s or was it a?
No, I believe it was built in like the 50s or 60s.
Oh.
I think my grandparents were only the second owners of the home. There was an old lady who one of the previous owners who did pass away just of natural causes in the house, but the neighborhood that the house is in was old farmland, and so we're wondering if maybe there was something there, because there was my aunt through marriage, her family lived in a house in one of the nearby neighborhoods that was also on the farmland, and she had twin boys, and they talked about seeing a ghost of a boy, and they called him Cut because he was wearing overalls and had cuts all over him. So I don't know if maybe that's the same spirit that I saw. And maybe it was like kid who had an accident on the farm. I've been wanting to go to the historical society in that area and kind of like research that more and see if maybe there actually was, but you know, back in the day, they didn't necessarily document everything so well. So I don't know if I'd actually be able to find this boy or not, but
yeah, it definitely sounds like a kid being pulled into this farm machinery.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Creepy. Yeah.
Definitely.
So once you started, you saw the first ghost, was it like a daily occurrence that you'd see something, weekly, monthly? Like how regular is it or was it?
Honestly, I can't really remember. I mean, it was enough that like I'd be sitting on the couch watching TV and one of the shadow figures would just walk by the hallway and you would just be like, oh, okay. Like it was almost like they were a family member at that point almost.
So it didn't bother you then? It didn't bother you?
No, I mean, it would creep us out when, you know, we'd open the door. We'd hear, I mean, it was clear as day, like knock, knock, knock. I mean, we would think it was one of our other cousins or something, and we would open the door. And I mean, that would kind of like weird us out a little bit, but we would just jump right back into playing with our Barbies or playing Nintendo or whatever. Like, it's okay. So thankfully, it never like, I mean, it was never menacing or anything like that.
That's good.
So, yeah. It was honestly just kind of like a ghostly family member.
Did you ever feel though, like as you got older? Or you know, I mean, seven's really young, obviously, but did you ever feel threatened or anybody else that encountered like any sort from shadow people or whatever it was, ghosts? Were they always
thankfully okay, nobody, cool? No spirits? Well, because some of the shadow figures were taller as well. And my grandma saw a tall shadow figure in the basement, so it was at least two different spirits at that house. And thankfully, none of those, at least I didn't ever feel threatened by them. But at a house that I lived in with my mom and my stepdad, that spirit, and again, I never actually saw anything at that house. Just items would be moved. We'd come into the room and things would be placed in different spaces. But my bedroom was in the attic and I never slept up there ever. It was like as soon as it became night and I was up there alone, it was just the feeling was off and not okay. And actually, now that I'm saying this, we would feel that sometimes in the basement at my grandma's. So that is the only time that I would feel like we would be, I mean, talk about playing and you're not paying attention to anything. We'd be playing Barbies, and my cousins and I, we were epic Barbie players. Like we detailed storylines and everything. So we would be engrossed in what we were doing. And we would be playing, and all of a sudden we both would just like stop and we'd look up at each other, and it was like, the energy would just shift and we would just throw the Barbies down and take off running up the stairs. But nothing ever happened. It was just like this energy shift. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that, you know, sometimes we talk to people and they're like, no, it only showed themselves to me, or You know, maybe one, but like your cousins also experienced
Yeah,
that.
They heard
Like
all
it sounds
the
like they didn't
people.
Just show themselves to you or you know, make themselves known to you. Didn't matter who was in the house. That's
my one cousin. She's terrified of everything, and so she didn't want to like see any of it or hear any of it.
Yeah.
But she still did. So, it wasn't just me.
Yeah, none of us, three of us, have not had those experiences.
No, but now I'm thinking like back of my childhood, and I can almost picture you guys like the shadow people in the corners of the like ceiling, going, you know, like, hey, we're here, you know, whistling and clapping at us, and we're just like,
yeah, you guys were,
dude, no, we were just totally oblivious.
No, totally oblivious. I can a ghost could trip me, and I'd be like, oh, tripped over a rock.
Yeah,
they're like, I'm not a rock. Wow. So did that lead into so? I'm interested in the spiritual, like you're a spiritual healer and so I apologize. Would you be called, is that what you're called, or a medium, psychic? Like what's the proper term?
I'm an intuitive tarot reader, and then also a spiritual guide.
Okay. Spiritual guide. Okay.
Guide the living and the dead on their journeys. And then, I'm intuitive and do tarot readings.
So explain a little bit more in depth, if you would please, like what is a spiritual guide, or what would a spiritual guide do, or what is their, what's your job, but what would they do? You know,
what's your gifts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on what whoever needs, but just kind of guiding people, like with my tarot readings as well. And just teaching people. My big thing is like, I don't like the term spiritual healer, because I'm not here to heal anybody. I'm not here to walk your path. I'm here to guide you and to like, here's some tools, here's information. So whether that be like a guided meditation that I help people with, or just tips and tricks on how to work with their own intuition. Like I'm big on empowering others with their own spiritual path, spiritual journey, intuitive gifts, because everybody has intuition, and kind of giving people the tools to go off on their own.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. They say that, you know, all three of us do, but I mean, I must listen to like what, 90, 100 different podcasts. And it seems like when they say that everybody, no matter who you are, has some type of spiritual capabilities, like a psychic or a medium or whatever, but you just don't plug into them all the time, or it just depends on, you know, how open you are. Is that your take on it, or is it somebody, or is it something that not everybody does have that you have to kind of develop on your own, or what's your take on that?
I compare it to like artistry. You know, pretty much anybody can pick up a pen and draw something. Now, is it going to be a good drawing? It depends. Some people just naturally, they can, like the first time they pick up a paintbrush or something, it's just like, holy cow, like how did you make that? And they don't have to work at it, just naturally they're amazing at it. That's kind of like intuition and psychic gifts. They're just naturally born with it. They don't have to work with it. It's just right out the gate, they're amazing at it. You know, some people have to work really hard at painting a good picture. They have to take art classes and practice and make a bunch of really crappy paintings before they're finally like good at their craft. Intuition is the same. You know, you can start out kind of rocky with it, but the more you work with it and the more you kind of hone your gift, the stronger it becomes. It's kind of like working out or a muscle. You know, the more you utilize it, the stronger it gets, and the easier it is to kind of tap into. And then unfortunately, there are some people where, you know, they struggle no matter what. But you always have that intuition. I mean, we all have that intuition. We've all gotten that kind of gut feeling before. We've all had maybe like the shivers down our spine of like, oh, like something feels weird here. Like we all have the intuition, just so many of us don't listen to it or tune it out or dismiss it as nothing.
Right. That's kind of like, and they always talk about being an empath, you know. Yeah. And I've never heard that term until whatever, 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, obviously I know the word empathy or empathetic, but I never knew there was empaths. Like I didn't know, was there a term for somebody that has this power? And so, I think, I haven't tapped into my, I don't know about you guys. I'm not tapped into my, mediumship or spiritual. I'm definitely not a spiritual guy, but like, sometimes I feel like I'm an empath. Like I can feel, people, like if they're hurting, or you know what I mean, like whether it's people at work or friends or family or my kids, I don't know if that would be called an empath, but it seems like I have more of that type of sense or skill or ability.
That's your intuitive superpower.
Okay, oh, look at that. See,
that's right.
And you're, yeah, see, I told you.
I mean, intuition.
Yeah, no.
It looks totally different for everybody. Like, not everybody's gonna see colors or symbols in their mind. Not everybody's gonna hear like a little ghostly voice or whatever. Like, everybody, it's very unique for everybody.
Okay.
But what you're describing, absolutely, that's 100% intuition and an intuitive gift.
Okay, cool.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
When did you start noticing your ability to do that, or what is it for you that something that you just had naturally, or is it something that you had to improve, like a muscle?
It did come naturally, but then I started to doubt it, and I also, because I saw things and heard, like, had such vivid experiences at my grandma's, I was like, okay, so already without even trying, like, I'm pretty connected, you know,
right.
I can see these things. And so I'm like, I'm kind of afraid for what if I open up my intuition, like, completely, because I was thinking that it would be like the movie The Sixth Sense, where the ghosts, they're like
dead people,
in your face and like terrifying. But once I started kind of studying more about it and learning more about it, I was like, okay, that's not quite what it's like. So I started opening myself up more to energies and everything. But yeah, I mean, I've always been really well at, like you were describing, of feeling other people's energies, and I can really detect like shifts in energy and things like that. So a little bit of both. It's kind of come naturally, but then I also kind of had to work on it a little bit.
Gotcha. Yeah. I would definitely, I was talking about maybe being a little bit of an empath. I definitely, you know, people have said that they really take it on, where they're, if somebody's upset, sick or whatever, like they become that. I don't do that. Like, if somebody's down and depressed and maybe they're sick and not feeling physically, I don't go, oh man, I'm feeling that too. So I can just picture or pick up on, even like, what's weird is, and I've never talked about this until talking to you, Sharice, like, out in public, you know, like at a restaurant, and we can walk in and somebody's sitting at the waiting area, or we're sitting next to somebody in the tables, and I can pick up how that whole dynamic is without even them saying a word. You know what I mean? Like, you can just, and maybe I'm just reading faces or body language, you know, maybe that's part of it too. I don't know, but I honestly
think that's kind of an intuitive gift, because not everybody notices, you know, those kinds of things that you're pointing out. I think that is its own kind of gift, is noticing
my wife does that.
Subtle shifts like that.
She'll say, like, man, that table over there. I'm like, yeah. She's like, and it'll be like a mom and dad and three kids. She's like, and she'll go on and describe, we're 3 or 4 tables away, but she kind of knows what the dynamic is, the energy that,
I'm
a horse, man. Thank you, Sean.
No,
but, and it's like, I'm like, at that time, I'm like, oh, really? I'm not picking up anything. So it's weird how sometimes, and now I'm thinking Amy does that, you know, it's my wife. And I'm like, that's interesting. I'll have to bring that up to her too, because she really does. She's a teacher. She's been in education for over 20 years. So she deals with, you know, kids and parents, but she primarily special needs. And, you know, it's crazy what she's learned over these years with dealing with different dynamics and the relationships, and a kid has this and a kid has that, and what the, and so I think that might be part of it. So it's her training, and then it kind of goes into just normal everyday life, not just her profession, you know. And interesting though. Yeah. I never thought about that though, you know, but yes, it's like I said, but I never take on, like, oh my gosh, if they're upset, I don't get upset, or they're sick.
Yeah.
But I have heard people that really affects them physically or mentally, or they take it upon themselves, and, you know, and the person's like, what's wrong? They're like, oh man, I'm really feeling their depression or whatever. And I don't, you know, I might feel bad for the person, but I don't take it on so heavy that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling exactly like that, you know? So I don't want to
get
crazy with it. But, like, being a spiritual guide, is that just for the living, or like, do you run into situations where you're obviously, and if you're going into a haunted location or possibly haunted location, or, and you run into a spirit or a ghost, whatever, is that part of your thing to help them if they're stuck or whatever? Maybe that's not the right term, but like, do you kind of help them transition, you know, or deal with their situation,
yes,
or is it just
mainly? No.
Okay.
So even with the living, I've been told that I have a very like motherly, calming, protective type energy, like a mama bear energy. And people have said, just by, like, just even giving them readings and, you know, like communicating with them and just kind of sharing energy with them, that helps them to feel at ease, or they'll find some peace, or they'll they're able to see things from a different perspective, maybe. And I hope that that's what I'm doing with the spirits as well. I don't ever go in, you know, thinking I'm going to make them do anything, but I'm there as kind of like a calming energy for them, because I seem to attract a lot of the like sad, sad, lonely oh. spirits, or the spirits that maybe are like confused or kind of need that motherly type loving energy. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of provide that, and as like a listening ear and kind of just like a safe space energy for them. Because I think if there are the spirits that are the conscious spirits, and they're those lost souls that are kind of stuck, like they're stuck for a reason, and maybe they just need that moment of safe space energy to like process whatever they need to process. But I am not a believer in the living crossing over the dead at all. That's their personal journey, you know, and I feel like whenever they are ready to cross over or move on to wherever they need to go, whatever happens will happen. I don't think it's our place to open up a doorway or shove them along. Like, I don't think that that's, I don't know. I think that's always kind of like egotistical when I hear that. Like, no. We're here in our living bodies in the physical world, and you are going to be the one to kind of like escort a spirit through the spiritual realm. Like, shouldn't that be something that the spirits themselves are doing? Mm-hmm. So I'm there to like help give them that like loving support that maybe that's what they needed to just kind of like have that moment of feeling safe or heard. And that's what will send them on.
Gotcha. I've heard a lot of people say, oh yeah, I got to get these people, these spirits over to, you know, to cross over, and I get, they're stuck and they're, and I've never like had an opinion one way or the other, but you saying that, I'm like, that does make sense. You know, mm-hmm.
not to like crap on people who do that. Cause I know.
I know what you're saying though.
Yeah. They're doing it from a place of like care, and you know, they're doing the right thing, but I don't know. I mean, I, as a living person, I don't want to be told what to do. Like, you know, you need to go to this light now. You need to go into this room. I don't need to do anything. Like, don't tell me what I need to do. I'll go to that room when I'm ready. Thank you.
Right. Because maybe they enjoy where they're at. Maybe.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're not ready. Maybe they're scared and they're just not ready to do it. Like, sure. So kind of, I try to treat the spirits like I would a living person. So maybe if the living person is afraid to, like, you know, I don't know, go get the surgery that they need to, I'm not gonna be like, you need to go now and do this surgery. I'm gonna be right. Like, okay, well, I'll sit with you until you feel ready, or you know, you feel safe to go do that, and then when you're ready you can go. Like, I don't know.
I think I can tell just by listening to what you're saying, and you know, what you speak with your heart a lot. You have a warm energy to you, and it is comfortable, so I can definitely see how, you know, that's, you just kind of give that off, that aura. What age were you when you realized that you wanted to start, you know, using those gifts to help other people? Were you like a teenager, or was it more like,
no, I was a bratty teenager.
You're a bratty teenager.
You didn't help anybody. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Do yourself. Cause what you do in all of your gifts are, you know, they're service to people, you know, mm-hmm. here and beyond. And, like, it's just interesting to when you, I'm sure you don't remember like exactly a day, but just a time period in your life when you're like, okay, this is how I serve, you know? And that's, do you remember when that kind of came to you?
Well, I've always been somebody that, you know, and it's funny that you were saying like, I've never said anything like this to anybody until just now, Charisse. I feel these things. It's funny, like I kind of laughed because I've gotten that my whole life, is like, I don't know why I'm telling you this right now. So I guess I wasn't that much of a brat in high school and as a teenager, because I had some dirt on lots of people, because for some reason people would be like, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but, and they'd like spill their guts to me. Okay. So I guess that was me being nice. I didn't spread rumors about people or anything. But no, honestly, I mean, I kind of had like some rough childhood stuff. And then I kind of like rebelled in my teenage years and had drug and substance problems. So I was, until, you know, like my early 20s, mid 20s. So I was really kind of just living life, well, trying to live life every day. So I wasn't really focusing on anybody else other than myself. And my own spiritual journey. That's one thing that I think always helped me through some of my darkest times, was my spiritual connection. I've always felt that I am connected to something divine, whether you call it God, source, energy, whatever. I've always felt divinely supported, thankfully. And my tarot cards. In my darkest times, I would do tarot readings, and that kind of helped to get me through things. But yeah, it wasn't until I got sober and got therapy and everything, and then I was like, holy f-, like, oh, I don't know if we can cuss on this. holy crap.
He'll edit that out. No big deal. you're good.
But I'm like, that's why I've gone through everything that I went through. And like, I was in the pits of hell and darkness, and I still was able to like keep this little ember of light going, and, you know, was finally able to kind of grow that light. And that's what I think I'm here to do, is to help kind of stoke those fires in other people as well.
Is that something you think that helped you, as far as like when you're saying, like, once you went away from that
trauma,
you know, or behavior, what, or, you know, that those vices or whatever, is that something that you're like, man, it's really come clear now? Like, did that help you, like, once you kind of shifted away from that stuff that you did in your younger years, you know, younger adult years? Is that, does that make sense? Is that something that maybe
you reword that,
or did, sure. You know, people, I've heard people say, like, you know, I was on drugs and I drank a lot, I was on alcohol, you know, and they were just numb, and they were just kind of, you know, didn't feel much. But then once they stopped doing that, that kind of opened them up to like, whoa, then they became more sensitive or more aware. You know, does that make
absolutely
sense?
And honestly, it was after I quit drinking, because I quit the drugs years before, but then was still drinking, and then I stopped drinking, so it was once I finally was like completely sober, and then I was in therapy and was dealing with all my stuff that I had to clear out.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really overwhelming, like the kind of like spiritual reawakening that I had. Like, my intuition was just like crazy. Like, I could hardly meditate because it would leave me so like floaty in my head. And it was this weird clarity. But once I kind of it was kind of like finding a new normal. And once I found that new normal, that's when, yeah, I was like, wow, okay, this is what I should be doing. This is what, you know, this is what all these things taught me. And I can, I don't know. I think that maybe that's also why like spirits and people feel comfortable with me, is because they can feel that maybe I've been through stuff and they've been through stuff, but I'm on the other side of it, you know? Yeah.
So there's beauty in the breakdown, right?
There is, absolutely.
Really?
If I didn't have those breakdowns, I don't think I would be here.
Mm-hmm. Trauma does. It helps mm-hmm. to shape us and guide us and that's mold us, you know. And then we tell people, we've said this before, but it's like we all have stories and we're part of each other's stories, you know. And like you said, we can't heal each other, but we can help to encourage healing that can happen naturally in us, or in a divine place in us.
The only healing that can happen is with the individual, whether living or dead, whether you're a spirit mm-hmm. or a living person. Yeah, it's your journey, your healing to do.
Does anybody else in your family have those gifts? You are, and this is just, it's a personal question, but do you have children or mm-hmm. anything?
My daughter is absolutely an empath. Mm-hmm. And I think she is also clairaudient, so she hears things. And then she has very vivid dreams, so I think she kind of has prophetic dreams a little bit, but she's terrified of any of this. So she has absolutely her whole life like actively tried to like block out any energy. So much to the point that like she doesn't socialize a whole lot. I mean, she's not like a hermit or anything, but she doesn't like to go into big crowds and things like that, just because the energy is so overwhelming for her. She can't deal with it. My son, I don't know. I mean, he's heard some things, but I don't know if he's got anything. And then my aunt, she definitely she's like where I was years ago. Like, she's afraid to open herself up too much with her intuition, I think, because she's afraid it's all just going to kind of come flooding in at her. But she's definitely a little sensitive as well.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Clear. What do you call it?
Clairaudient.
Yeah. Or audience. Yeah. I never heard that term until just a couple of years ago too. I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. You know? So I like all these terms and these phrases that describe what somebody might have as far as their abilities.
My term is 2x4.
2x4.
That's a new one. I'll have to write that down. Nate is a 2x4. On
everybody's got their gifts, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So do you go on investigations, correct? Did I get
that?
Okay. Yep. How does that work? What's that like? Do you try to go with groups? Do you do it by yourself sometimes? Do you, and then are you asked? like somebody that reaches out to you and like, hey, Sharice, we're going to this whatever haunted house, and we think this is what's going on or not going on. Do you get like invited where you don't even know these people because they want somebody to come along to, you know, to see what's, you know, like where they don't have their, or they haven't tapped into their abilities. Maybe they're investigators, but they don't have the psychic abilities or going to hear anything or see anything. So do you, like, what's that investigation dynamic? Do you just go with, yeah, friends that go with you, or, and how often?
Yeah, I've met a lot of strangers on the internet. I always joke about, I tell my kids, you know, don't meet strangers on the internet.
Yeah.
While I have met all kinds of people from Instagram at these old abandoned buildings. Oh, yeah. but yeah, so I'll go with groups, like other groups that will invite me along, or just other people who are solo investigators. I'll go with them. I haven't been specifically asked, like, hey, you're a psychic or you have gifts, like come in here and investigate. The dog came out.
No, that's all right.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. See, I think I think that'd be kind of cool. Like, if you had those abilities, mm-hmm. and people reach out to you to ask you to go along with mm-hmm. them on an investigation to see right. what you pick up or can't pick up. I think that's really cool. Go ahead. I was just telling Sean and Nate, I think that's neat that people reach out to you because you have those gifts and those abilities that they're like, yeah, will you tag along and see what you pick up? You know, so. Go ahead.
I
don't know what was I supposed
no,
to say.
No, yeah. Well, I kind of when you got up. So, so you meet these people, or they reach out to you on Instagram, whatever. Mm-hmm. Is this something like you try to do? Because we've got friends that we've had on our show and stuff, and it seems like every other day or every weekend they're gone to a haunted location and they post it, whatever. Is that something you like to do, or just maybe once a month or every couple months? Like, how active are you investigating?
I mean, if I had lots and lots and lots of money, I mean, I'd be at these places like every weekend if I could be. A lot of these places, yeah, they're expensive. So, I mean, I actually haven't really done, I don't think I've done anything this year, now that I'm thinking about it. It's just kind of living life. I'm working on another book. So, yeah, this year has been kind of quiet for investigations.
Okay.
Like 2022, 2021, those were pretty busy years. I was like every month I was doing a big location.
Do you mainly stay around Ohio then, or do you go like just surrounding states, or
generally Ohio or like the surrounding states, you know, Pennsylvania, Indiana. Whenever I go on investigations, whenever I go on vacation as well, I'm totally one of those that's like Googling like haunted places near wherever. My family's used to it. So I'm like, okay, so I found these haunted places. We're going to go drive by. We're going to stop. So I do lots of like little mini investigations. I even do that just by myself. I'll go to, you know, cemeteries around here by myself. So I do a lot of those. I love doing that, finding all the cool haunted spots that are not where I normally am.
Sure.
Do you have a favorite that you've looked at or investigated, or one that you've gone back to multiple times?
Indiana State Sanatorium.
Oh,
probably
one of our favorites.
Favorite. Oh, you guys have been there?
Uh-huh. Yep, been there twice, and it's just an hour away from us. So yeah, just
have you seen my documentary that I helped produce? And
no, we'll have to. No, I haven't.
Please ignore the spelling errors at the beginning. The director and editor and everything, he put like this warning at the beginning of like, this is scary. And there's multiple spelling and grammar mistakes, and I was like, oh, it's on Tubi. And when I sat down to watch it, I was like, no, like, this is so embarrassing. But yeah, it was his first foray into the paranormal. So there are some things I personally would have done a little differently with that documentary, but it's okay because it's a cool documentary. Yeah, and there's a creepy part. Keep your ear out during my solo, because he didn't. That's what I was so annoyed with, too. I'm like, you need to put that, like, there was something happening, like there was a voice or whatever. I'm like, not everybody's paying attention for that. Like, so many people, you know, we watch all the TV shows and they put it on the screen, so not everybody's like actively listening for something. But yeah, there was a creepy moment during one of my solos.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, like, so you said, yeah, I've been, you know, go to Ohio or whatever, Pennsylvania, and I'm like, or Indiana, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if you've been in Indiana.
In Indiana?
Yeah, yeah, we're just, we're pretty much close to downtown Indy, maybe 25 minutes west of downtown Indianapolis. So then we're an hour west or hour east of the sanatorium.
Rockville, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Yeah, we've been there twice. Yeah, it's a pretty neat place. Yeah.
Have you guys had any good experience? Because every time I've been, it's been the most active place I've ever been to in my entire life.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
We've not been at night, though. That's what we need to go at night. We've only
really? You've never been at night? Oh, the energy is so different. I was actually talking to the spirits during the day, and they're completely different. I mean, I don't know, because it's actually been, it was 20, like the end of, or be, no, I can't remember. It was 2021 that I was there last, which makes me so sad. I'm like, oh my God, I need to go back. So it may have shifted now, because when I was there, it was still a fairly new place. And actually, the first time I investigated it, I was only like the second or third group to investigate the place, which was amazing. What was I saying? Oh, the spirits during the day were completely different spirits than at night. And I was asking them why. And because at night there's a more aggressive spirit, which I'm hoping that people haven't started to label as demonic, because he's not, he's just an angry person spirit. But he kind of like controls the five-story building. He controlled that building at night. And so the like kind of more friendly, docile spirits kind of hold back and don't come out at night. And so, yeah, they're a lot more pleasant and peaceful during the daytime.
Yeah, we've been, both times, like Sean said, we've never been at nighttime. We want to. We've only done the self-guided tours. We've never really done an official tour, and we really haven't done, like, I mean, you can kind of do the self-guided and, like, you can kind of investigate, but, you know, we don't have equipment. We just have, our ears and eyes and our cell phones. But
that's the best equipment to have.
Yeah, well, that's why Nate says, But no, we really love that place. We haven't really had a whole lot. It's just so fascinating that it's just stuck in time. Like, you have all these clothes and personal, we found all kinds of stuff.
We recorded a couple episodes there, like a long episode on a location, and we did a mini. And so we got to meet the owners. And
Greg
came on and talked to us a little bit about the history. And
still think it's not haunted? Does he still not believe in ghosts?
He's a little more skeptical, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But I think that, he accepts that people have experiences. And he said he could walk through that whole place, basically blindfolded. He knows it so well.
Yeah.
At night. And he's like, I'm never scared to be here by myself or go around day or night. I only had like chills. We did have a friend of ours, Amanda, was there. Yeah. Well, it was cold. But she got really emotional in a lot of different rooms, and she felt very powerful, and she needed a hug in one of them. You remember that with Amanda? And I felt some chills in some of them, but, one of them, we were coming out of the powerhouse, and Todd was behind me, and I kind of stopped, and Todd's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I was kind of dumbfounded, because I swear, and there were some people running around that day, but there was somebody sitting on a bench that was just in the back there before you go into the nursing home. And it's kind of like where the nursing home, attaches to the five-story, psych building. And I looked over there, nobody was there, but I was like, I swear somebody was sitting on that bench, and then they weren't. So he's like, they probably were,
Yeah, they probably were. Yeah. The grounds of that place are haunted too, for sure.
There's a lot to it as well. I mean, there's a lot of grounds there.
Well, that's the cool thing about it, is you don't have just one building. It's a campus, so you have however many, four or five buildings, and grounds. It's really cool how you can just go from one place to, I really like the directors, or the not warden, but is it called the director?
Oh, administration.
The administrator. I thought that house was cool.
Like the main, we call it mansion. But
But I think Greg, like, I was like listening to him. I think he's, he said basically, he's like, there's some things that I can't explain. Now, he didn't say,
he's not willing to say, though, it was a ghost.
Right. He's not saying it's paranormal or supernatural, but he's not saying, no, it's definitely not that. He's like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. So, he's kind of open to it, I think, And he was a great guest, though. I was fascinated how he came across the property, how he.
They work for the Defense Department.
Yeah. And he's looking for property and, and wants this amount of acres. And the lady was like, his real estate agent's like, are you like really serious about getting a property? Like, I'm showing you these places and you're not really, digging them, and you're not really making, and he's like, I'm just not really into them. And she's like, well, I've got one other place, and it's a old abandoned, sanatorium. He's like, do I? and it's got 200 acres, and it's
what
got,
am I supposed to do with that?
It's got multiple buildings. He's like, okay. And he's like, now I own a sanatorium. It's wild. I love that. I'm like, I want to buy a sanatorium.
I do too, man.
No, it's crazy. How about Ohio? Like, no, you're fine. So, I'll wait till Charisse gets back. I'm gonna ask her.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine. So one of the places, like in your home state, Ohio, have you been to the, I bet you've been to the Ohio State Reformatory. I bet that's yes, kind of a bit. Yeah. Absolutely. Do you have any stories from that or any other location in Ohio? Any good paranormal?
The Reformatory. So I've been to all the Parapsycon conventions. Well, not all of them, but I think they've had five. I've been to three of them, the convention that they do there every year. So I've been to that. And then one of the years I did the public investigation with the celebrities. And honestly, like, I don't know. There wasn't anything like concrete that I could say, like, you know, I heard this EVP or I heard this or I saw this. It was more just feelings. It always feels like there's somebody like standing behind you at that place. Like, it's kind of creepy. You turn around, there's nobody there. I mean, almost to the point that you feel like you could feel their breath like on you. Oh, wow. So the spirits there definitely like to kind of really be close to you to see what you're doing. Yeah, I mean, not a ton there. But like I said, I mean, I haven't done like a private investigation, so I don't know if it's different with less humans wandering around. Yeah. That would be cool though. But I mean, that place, it's always amazing.
Yeah, we did an episode on that. And these places are so, they're awesome, but they're just intimidating looking, you know? And did that on purpose to when you arrive at these places, like, oh, or what's the, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the other place. Anyway.
Trans Allegheny.
That one's monstrous in West Virginia.
Like and a fortress. Like,
yeah. And they've got these, this gothic looking structures and these, it's kind of like Waverly. They had these gargoyles. We're like, oh my gosh, can you imagine? Showing up at this place like this is where I'm going to live. Like,
gosh dang prediction. Yeah, be right. Yeah,
that's right. Didn't they do that?
They did. Yeah.
but these places are so like the NES State Sanatorium. Like whether you feel anything or not, see anything or not, experience any supernatural or paranormal, still real places, and they have
the history behind them.
Yeah,
right?
It's so cool. We really enjoy that. Like I said, we never feel like, oh, that was a bus. We didn't have anything. No, it's
The life that was lived there and
the story behind it. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's how I am too. When I mean, so many people are like, and nothing happened and I'm never going back there. I'm like, but you got to go to some place that has so much history and like you learned about people's stories and their lives and like you got to go to this place that not everybody gets to go to. Like that's part of the fun and the adventure of investigating, I think, is getting to go to these places and hearing the stories and, you know, getting to be like walk the halls that these people walked. And
we have a place for you to go to if you haven't been, is Randolph County Asylum. And it is
been there.
Have you been? Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to go if you haven't. It is awesome.
What do you think about that place? We just went there, what, a month ago, April?
Yeah.
April. So almost.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I feel bad. I can never remember his name. The little boy spirit.
Oh, yeah. It was a sweet.
Terrible with names. Playing with us, like, because we had the cat balls that light up and we had them next to different toys, and he would like run from one toy to the next, and we'd be like, can you, like, let's see how quick you can run to the fire truck, and like the little ball would light up, and so that was really cool. All the interactions that we had with him, and we would ask like yes and no questions, and he'd light up the K2 meter, so that was pretty cool.
We just went there late April or something like that, and we went there for we signed up for a tour, you know, so we had a guided tour, and then Kate was fantastic. She did our tour, and then we call it Mako meet and greet. So we go there, and if someplace will let us kind of hang out and pass out our business cards and our, you know, maybe we sold a few, two or three t-shirts, and you know, we have little rubber the wristbands, and so just trying to get the word out about our podcast and meet people. We love that, you know. And it was really successful. Like, we got to meet people, and I said, sold a couple t-shirts, but on that tour, it was like, really, like, it was definitely not a letdown. It was really fascinating. But they treated us like royalty. Mm-hmm. They were, so, you need anything, any table you want to set your stuff? Like, no, we really don't need anything fancy. Oh no, you just pick, you know. And we're like, no, we're good. You know, we're fine. And then they're like, are you gonna stay for the investigation overnight? We're like, no, Nate had to get up early, I think. Right.
Yeah. I had to go to work.
Yeah. We go
stayed
to work
about an hour and a half, but that was,
We did the hour, whatever tour, hour and a half tour. And then we stayed, probably an hour and a half after that. Mm-hmm. And, it was so cool. They were really welcoming and great. We want to go back, and
we cannot wait to go back.
I told you, do you remember, Charisse, do you remember the attic where the judge is supposed to kind of hang out? And he does like mock trials, whatever. So we walk up there, and, you know, she's talking about, you know, they used to have events up here, and the kids would play. They let the kids play and all that. And I'm like, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking basketball, you know, I'm thinking full court about, right. Mm-hmm. And then, or I think Sean said basketball, and I looked and I go, I'm thinking about live events. So we're thinking about maybe trying maybe next year doing a live podcast show, Baby in the Attic, you know, so we have to work it out. But I'm like, I just fell in love that place. And I know Nate and Sean loved it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have weddings up there, right? And receptions in it.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
And then they let us go up to the Stone Mansion too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Which that place before. I investigated there in September. And it's beautiful.
It's back up and running now. They had to do a lot of renovation.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
The storm. And, mm-hmm. Yep.
That was terrible.
Yeah, that's right. Because Dan, one of the owners, he was going over there. This was before the tour. We're just kind of hanging out. And we got our friend Austin Lawrence, who's a paranormal investigator. And he's in Ohio, too. And he was there. He's like, hey, you know, I don't know if he did or Kate or somebody. He's like, hey, you guys want to go to the Stone Mansion? We're like, sure. So yeah, because we're like, because she's like, yeah, we have, you know, 45 minutes, an hour till the tour starts. We're like, okay. So we followed Dan and yeah, we walked around there. And then they had two volunteers, a woman and her daughter. They were volunteering, just, you know, fixing it up and doing whatever. And they were even told us a few stories. And yeah, we were just able to walk around. We're like, oh man, kind of a bonus. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. But it was really sad though, because we saw a lot of the damage from the tornadoes. Were like, oh, yeah. Man. Like Nate said, this was a straight, like it just tore through that town and just tarps were all over
some of the house. That house on, they said head on, and that was what's amazing is that,
It was
house,
built pretty good.
Yeah, it's got some serious like foundation.
What's crazy, there's a weather person that I follow on YouTube, Ryan Hall, y'all. Do you guys follow him? He's amazing. If there's ever like inclement weather in your area, because he goes live and he'll post about it. So, because we were having storms that night too here in Ohio. So I was watching his live video of that. And he was talking about the tornado. He's like, there's a radar indicated. He's like, this is not a good thing. And it's heading straight for Winchester. And I was like, no. Like, I even thought, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I wonder if it's going to hit the house. And so, yeah, I mean, I was watching it like on radar live as it was happening.
Oh,
and,
man.
Yeah. Well, and then the next, or that night, I think they posted that it had been hit. And I was like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't say like, I mean, this is, wasn't funny what happened, but what's funny is like, we've been talking since we started our podcast, you know, over three years ago, Randolph County Asylum was one of the places that we wanted to visit and talk about, do a, you know, an episode on. And it just, you know, so then 3 years later, we're like, cool. It's you know, we signed up and they were like, yeah, come on out and you can do the meet and greet and we'll do the tour. And then just before that, shortly was the tornadoes. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, did the place get hit? Like we've
demolished.
Been waiting. For, yeah, we've been waiting for 3 years. Right. And I'm like, you know,
we
I'm
finally
like,
oh. Book it. Now it's demolished.
I'm like, oh my gosh! And then you know they were like, the asylum's fine. It's just the Stone Mansion got hit, and you know, but I which was sad enough. But I just was like, oh my gosh! I'm like, no, of all timing, we've been waiting 3 years. And,
right.
But we were able to do it. Yeah, it was. Yeah, we love that place. Any other places that stick out to you that you
in Ohio?
Anywhere.
Let's see. The Monroe House creeped me out.
The one here?
Monroe House, that's in Indiana.
Yeah.
Actually, if you go to the Monroe House, you got to do the Blackford County Jail also.
Yeah, they're catty cornered.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only location that I've ever been to that I've debated on ever going back to ever again. So I went with a group called ACG Paranormal. It's led by Nat and Elliot, who are husband and wife. And I went with them, and it was all of our first time there. And the energy there is just weird. It's really weird. And while we were investigating, we all like we were in the kind of the gear room, which is in the front living room, and we were all just goofy, like laughing. Like, I don't know. We all just felt like almost high. Like one of us said that we were like, I feel high. We're like, I do too. So much to the point that we were like, is there a gas leak or something? Like we started looking around for a gas leak. We're like, we do not feel right. And then it clicked because we'd been having weird responses and everything throughout the night. I was like, whatever is here, I'm like, is trying to lower our guard down. So I went around and put protection oil on all of us and kind of like did some energy stuff. And thankfully, within like 15 minutes of doing that, we all felt clear-headed and completely normal again. That place was weird. We slept there. If I ever go back, I'm definitely not spending the night there again or sleeping in the house. Because all night long, you could just hear somebody kind of like, it was like they were walking from the room that I was in with somebody else and then down the hall to like, it, they were just kind of checking on all of us throughout the whole night. And it was creepy. Thankfully, I did some major cleansings before I came home. So I was okay after I left there, but Nat and Elliot and then the two other members of their team, they were not okay for like a few weeks after leaving there. Like their moods were all messed up. They were low energy. They were cranky. They were depressed feeling. So it really messed with them. And oh, I forgot, it messed with our equipment as well. Elliot is the tech person for their team. And it completely, I forget if it was a camera or like an audio piece of equipment, it completely broke it. Like it did not work anymore after being at that house. Wow. So yeah, that place is interesting.
Yeah, we did an episode on it. And what we've read is a lot of people, especially in the basement of the manor house, they'll run out of the house and swear never to go back.
Yeah,
it's whatever's in there.
Supposed to be like they said, demonic, I guess, a presence.
Yeah, that's and I. So demons are so rare, honestly. Like they're really rare, because a lot of the time too, just mischievous spirits like to masquerade themselves as a demon. I feel like pretty much when a spirit's saying like demon, like that word's coming through, or they're like I'm a demon. They're not a demon. A demon's not gonna sit there and be like I'm a demon. Like yeah. They're trying to, you know, let your guard down. They're trying to kind of like.
Yeah.
Not show you their true colors right away. But that's one location that I'm like, I don't know, maybe that was a demon there. I haven't decided if it's just like a really old nature spirit that's kind of creepy or if it's a demon. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Justin.
I feel like I have to go back there at some point. But
we'll take you with us.
or we'll go with you.
We'll go with you.
We need a guide.
That's right.
Well, like Justin Rimmel, who is a Mysterious Circumstance host, he was telling us, he's like, oh, dude, you got to go. And I'm like, ah, oh, man.
He wants to spend the night there in the basement.
And I'm like, and that's one of the few. I could be wrong, but like I always tell Sean, I'm like, man, let's go. I'll spend the night. That one, I don't know if I really want to go. Like that one sounds really bad.
One, I would not encourage people to spend the night there.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, I won't do that.
Definitely go.
Okay. All right.
I mean, there's space too in the backyard. Like you could pop up a tent if you want or something and sleep out there. But
oh, I've seen horror movies about that.
tent's not good. I just watched Jason. I don't know which, probably the 13th. But the girl gets dragged out and he's whacking her along, or against the tree.
Oh yeah,
drags her out of the tent. I'm like, no, not tents. You know. Oh, that's all I need. Like, great, this thing's slamming me against the tree.
I don't know. I'd almost rather take that than whatever creepy energies in that house.
So you've been to a lot of places in Indiana. That's cool. I mean, I know.
Indiana and Ohio, probably those are the places I've been to the most.
That's neat. Yeah. I'm trying to think of any other places to ask her as far as
Whispers Estate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have not. That is on my list of places to go. Yeah.
Nate had a few little things, but, you know, not.
It wasn't very active for us that night.
Really?
Yeah. He said the night before, though.
We had a thunderstorm rolling in through the night. I don't know if that, like, zapped the energy or something. I don't know.
That should have boosted it. That's the best investigating during.
I don't know. It was, yeah.
That was actually the coolest Indiana State the first night I investigated there. A mm-hmm. huge thunderstorm. And, yeah, we're pretty sure that's what helped make the energy off the charts.
Yeah, you'd think it would work in that way, but like our friends, the Paulies went there from Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast, and they had.
They said it was a wild night.
Yeah, they just had experience after experience after experience, and it was really dead when we were there.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
Yeah, and Jerry's kind of, and that's kind of where I'm at. Like he's like, you know, give me 2 hours investigating. He's like, I'm not an all nighter. I'm not going to spend 8-10 hours. You know, investigating. He's like, because after a while he just gets, you know, he's tired or worn out. But like 2 hours, they were just nonstop like interaction, and they even recorded. They have it on video, and it's like, oh, that's pretty intense. Well, pretty cool.
Yeah. Master bedroom. The story goes that the closet door will pop open. You close it, and it pops open. You close it, it pops open. I sat in there for hours waiting for this door to pop open so I could shut it and watch it pop open again. Didn't do anything all night.
Maybe they used up all their energy the night before. If they said it was really active that night, maybe the ghosts were just tired.
I don't know.
Nate looked like a puppy dog waiting for his owner to come home. You know, just staring at the door, wagging his.
I mean, I did hear footsteps come up the wooden stairs upstairs, and we were all upstairs or up in the attic. So none of us were on the first floor. So I heard footsteps. And then me and our paranormal investigator friend Aaron, we're sitting in the master bedroom, and we could hear tapping in the walls. And she had one of the light up like teddy bears in the daughter's room, and I could see from the seat I was in across the hall to the chair that the bear was sitting on, and it fell off the chair, lit up. So, I mean, there was a little bit of action, but it wasn't as crazy as everybody says it is.
Yeah.
It must have just been an off night.
It's a creepy house.
I always wonder with that, too, with locations that are like, people are like, oh, and there's, although this is how I talk about Indiana State the times I've been there, because it literally was just like one thing after another when I was there. But yeah, some of those locations, I'm like, is it people going in that like this may be their first investigation? And so they're just hearing like any normal house noise, and they're like, oh, and there was just noises all night, and it was just, you know, it could be explained, or are we just missing out on some of the really active nights? I don't know.
Yeah.
We had that spirit, or Aaron had the spirit box, and it did name some of our names, and it's not like we were using our names. So we were like, that's kind of weird.
Well, then it said my name one time. You said it did. I didn't hear it, but it said,
because Linda and Mike, and it said,
And it said demon or something.
It said demonic. Yeah.
But it called Aaron explicit. And
yeah.
She's like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
She's like, do not talk to me that way.
Yeah. She's had it happen a few times. She had it at the Stone Mansion. She had.
Yeah. And Waverly. Called her something. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, that's not nice. Yeah. Real quick, Waverly. Have you been to Waverly Hills? We love Waverly.
I have. Yeah. That place is amazing.
Yeah,
we had a lot going on there.
That's a place where it was one of our first. We haven't been to a ton, but when you show up there, we're like, "Wow, this is the big time. This is Waverly Hills, man." This
right?
Is
yeah,
like, impressive.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh, look at we parked, and then we're walking around the front to get and it's like, look at the gargoyles." And I'm like, "This, I can't." I was really in awe, because I'm like, "This is." If nothing happened, I was like, this is really cool. We're walking into Waverly Hills with all the different history and stories that went on. It's like, this is the big time.
We had quite a few.
Yeah, we did, though.
Quite a few things.
Yeah.
The only thing that didn't happen was interaction with the creeper.
I was disappointed.
We looked.
I wanted the creeper.
We checked. Yeah.
And we searched. Not saying he wasn't there. Again, I didn't see him, or we didn't.
We saw some kind of a shadow figure at the end of the night.
At the end, Oh, my gosh. That was so funny. That we were like, we all saw it, and then Aaron... And she brought her mom. Her mom's a sweetheart. And she's like, it was time to go. We had been there, whatever, the 8 hours. And she's like, I'm not walking through. Aaron's like, Mom, that's where we have to go. We have to. It's like, I'm sorry. You have to go this way. And we're like, we got it. But Sean and I heard voice or
chains
and
footsteps
and
like hard-heeled sole like shoes.
Well, he had
like
heard it, and then I came over, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hear that. And there was everybody had tennis shoes or soft sole. Yeah. Like, there should not be any.
Do you know that like the that. Hallway that you're supposed to like ask, bring your hands out or stretch them out to the side and tell, see who wants to come out of their rooms and talk. And so I was the guy that was going through asking, the spirits to come out and talk. And when I was doing that, I started hearing footsteps ahead of me, and Todd was behind me. He's like, what do you hear? And I was like, I hear footsteps. So somebody must be, from another part of the group coming this way. But everybody had tennis shoes on. Nobody had hard-soled, shoes. And so he heard it a couple times, and it sounded like a doctor or a nurse, coming up the hallway, but nobody was there. We went as far as we could to see, who was coming up down the stairs. Nobody was there.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Yeah, that place is amazing.
Well, and John was our tour guide, so we did the hour tour before, and that really was cool, because that's what I kind of wanted, sanatorium, at least give us a tour before we investigate or walk by ourselves, because I kind of want to know where the hot spots are. But he was so good. He's like, okay, here's the story, or here's the legend. Now here's a real story. None of that, he was honest about it. It's like, this isn't true. This did happen, and I appreciated that. We appreciated that he was honest in telling the stories about maybe stuff that was made up or changed just for, because it sounds good or scary. But he was great. Yeah, John was awesome. And then Aaron, and Sean, Nate, and I, and her mom kind of did our thing. There was like 20 of us, right? Total, because Aaron set up this investigation. And then, there was a group here and a little group here, and we had our group, and it was amazing. Like, and I was just like, wow. Like, you never, I could have been there another 2 or 3 hours, because some of the places, yeah, I'm like, you know, maybe 2 hours giving, that's all I need. But Waverly is one of those, I'm like, yeah, I could have stayed, you know, another hour or two. Because it's just, but yeah, and I could, we walked up the halls, the same places, you know, multiple times, and it was just as creepy and as, you know, the anticipation, I think that's a lot. My dad used to always say, anticipation, like on a vacation or whatever, that's half the fun, you know, the excitement of what is going to happen or what could happen. And I think that's kind of part, in my opinion, that's part of the whole experience when you go to a haunted location is what could happen. You know, it may not happen, but what could, you know? What are you going to see or experience?
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, real quick, too, and I know, Sean, I'm surprised you didn't ask because she is an author.
Mm-hmm. I actually, that's one of the things. Yeah, how many books? You said you're about ready to release another book. Is that right? Or you're writing one?
Yeah, I'm writing it right now. I need to get on it. I've finished it already.
How many books do you have out now?
So technically, I have three. I have one I wrote and self-published myself. So if anybody does purchase it, please excuse any grammar mistakes or anything, because I literally did it all on my own. And it's called The Goddess Life, and it's kind of just a daily spiritual inspiration kind of book. Mm-hmm. And then I have The Witch's Guide to Ghost Hunting and The Witch's Guide to Haunted Objects, which are published with Beyond the Fray Publishing. And then the book I'm working on right now is called Tarot for Ghosts and Spirits, and it's all about utilizing the tarot cards to investigate with and communicate with spirits. Not only ghosts at haunted locations, but like your spirit guides as well and ancestors. So, yep.
Cool. When did you start using tarot cards? Because I think tarot cards are fascinating.
When I was 13.
13? Yeah.
So my friend and I, we were at Spencer's at the mall. And this was back in the day. I've now learned that it's just a myth that you can't buy your own tarot deck. I don't know if you guys have heard that at all, but there's a myth that you're not supposed to buy your own deck. It has to be gifted to you. So my friend and I just both bought the same deck, and then we walked out of the store and just swapped them and handed them to each other. But yeah, that was my first deck. And for years and years and years, I just read for myself. But kind of like I was talking about earlier, I mean, that was one of the things that helped me through some difficult times and kind of helped me have a spiritual connection. And I mean, I use tarot for everything. I always have even a deck in my purse that I bring with me. I read tarot for myself, for others, professionally, for ghosts, nature spirits even. I'll be on a hike and I'll pull out tarot cards to talk to, like if I feel there's a nature spirit or something with me, I'll pull a couple cards to see what they have to say. Yeah, they're amazing. Huh.
Nate, John, you have any other questions for Mr. Reese?
I just wonder, do people like, do you charge for the tarot readings then, or is it like, do you do it as part of, you know, it's kind of weird because I've tried to think about people doing it, you know, as like, you know, hey, I need to do this for you. Or do they come to you? You know, is that something that people seek out, or do you advertise, or is it kind of mouth?
Link people can. I do email readings. I don't do them in person all the time, just because I have my kids and schedule.
Right. Yeah.
But so I do email readings. So I do the reading and then type it up and send a picture of the cards for people.
Very cool. Hmm. How long does that normally take? Like, is that something that you spend, you know, like hours on, or is it something that comes fairly quickly to you? Or
fairly quickly. I like things that are like simple but powerful is kind mm-hmm. of my terminology I use for my spiritual practice and just anything in life. And I like to kind of, some people can pull cards and talk for like 2 hours, and I'm like, just get to the point already.
Yeah, right.
Not to be mean. No, I mean, because I've actually gotten like, I've gotten the longer readings, and they can be really good, but I like to just kind of like give you the meat of the subject, and then we can pull some more cards if you need some more clarity. But 30 minutes maybe. That
Cool. Hmm. Nate, you have any question?
I do not.
I'm going to be honest, Reese. I was at home tonight, and I was talking to my wife. I'm like, hey, a lot of times I'll tell her what we're going to talk about, or she'll ask. And I'm like, hey, we've got a guest chat tonight. I said, she's the one that had to cancel, or I had to cancel, you know, last week, and we were scheduled. And I said, she's a spiritual guide. And I said, she's written books, and she goes on investigations. And I said, I haven't really been big into the whole medium psychic type thing. Not saying I believe it or don't believe it. You know, and I'm so that it's going to turn out well. So don't just hear me out. And I was like, we haven't had anybody on I can remember. And I'm like, so she'll be the kind of the first person that does practice that. And I'm like, but you stuck out when I listened to you on Jim Harrell, because I'm not trying to insult anybody out there, but I'm like, you know, you're intelligent about it. You're honest. I feel like you're genuine. And so, you know, and you weren't, this sounds awful, but listening to you on Jim Harrell and watching some of your Instagram videos, I'm like, she's not like,
a charlatan.
Didn't seem like a charlatan. Yeah. And you're not like, your name's not like Lulu Flower, and you're just kind of, yeah, the cards are talking to, like, you're not weird. I that's terrible. I shouldn't say that.
I think the term you're thinking is like airy fairy, kind of like
airy fairy. Yeah.
You're grounded along with spirituality.
You seem with a normal approach to that.
Yes.
Yes. And so I was like, I can have her on our show, because mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it. I don't know if I believe or not. I'm not saying you're definitely are genuine and all that. I'm just saying I don't know how it all works, but I want to get you on because you're an awesome guest on Jim Harrell. But I thought you seem
normal.
Yeah, I guess normal.
Grounded,
yeah, like
Sean. Well, I've got you fooled, buddy.
And I hate to say, I know there's probably thousands of others out there that are like, you know, they take it serious and they're not, you know, out there in la la land. I was like, man, I just want to be careful getting people on here, because I did have one. Sean and Nate have no idea, but this is about 2 years ago, and this girl reached out to me on Messenger, on Messenger, on Facebook. Don't know who she is. She just saw our Facebook page or group. And she reached out, and I was like, and I might have sent maybe Sean or both of you guys. I was like, this person reached out, and I looked, you know, and I want to kind of see what this person's about. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. It's too wackadoo out there. It's too crazy. She has some videos, and the way she posted, and I was like, I was kind of turned off. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't really know if she's going to be good to get on here, because it just seemed more, she was forcing it. Like playing the role where you'd see it, you know, instead of like just being genuine and doing it, you know, like she was the way she dressed and the way she talked. And I was like, oh, okay. I can't do that. So anyway,
he's calling you refreshing.
That's right. It's a compliment, because we're talking to you and I don't get that sense of like, okay, she's just full of it. Or she's like, oh man, she's out there. Like, you're intelligent. You're smart about it, you're genuine. It's a different.
You have a good vibe.
Yeah. I'm into the whole whimsical fairy type stuff, and I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do that. So, compliments to you.
Thank you. I get weird sometimes a little bit.
Well, we're weird too.
I do rein it in sometimes. But no, I mean, that's kind of one of my things too. Is trying to like show people that like the spiritual stuff can seem a little out there and like the supernatural and everything, but really it's so much more normal than people give it credit for. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. So it's really not that weird to tap into these like spiritual elements of ourselves, you know, and you can be very open-minded and very in tune spiritually and still level-headed and grounded and logical as well. I mean, I believe anything can happen. I mean, I believe in fairies and Bigfoot and aliens, and I believe that there's things out there that we don't even know about yet. Like, I'm open to all the possibilities. We're living in a simulation right now. I don't know. None of us know anything. But also, you know, you do have to be a little like level-headed and realistic as well. So,
and I'm like that with anybody. Oh, go ahead, Sean.
I was gonna say, saying all that, now we like even more.
No, but it's true. And I'm not just picking like you know. So I'm a Christian, so my wife and I met through church, and she's, you know, we've been baptized. We're believers in Christ. We go to, you know, but like, I'm like that with Sunday school teachers and pastors and ministers. I'm like, if I'm not vibing with like you're a little bit, you know what I mean? So it's not, I'm just not picking on the mediums or the psychics. I'm just like, I'm like that with anybody, or even a coach. Yeah. I'm like, okay, you seem hokey. You know, like you're kind of putting on a show.
Playing the role of what you think this should be. Yeah.
And that's what that one girl did. I was like, I don't know about that.
Because I have come across some people that are super woo-woo fairy out there, but you can tell that that's just who they are. Like, they are this, like, you know, a fairy in human form, and like, it works for them. But then, you can absolutely tell when people are kind of like forcing it and trying to make it something that they're not.
Well, there's this one guy reached out, and he was really hairy, and he said he was a Bigfoot. I was like, I don't know, man. I think you just need
to have him on, no, man.
For sure.
Kind of grunted and grunted.
Talk like, to Nate and I about those. I have to tell you, Charisse, a friend of mine named Mary, she's a retired nurse. She's a good friend of mine. I've talked to her about this on our show before, but you'll like this. So she did a tarot reading on me. She has, as I got to know her, because I worked with her for a lot of years, she's just like you in the sense of like a beautiful spirit. She's very strong-willed. She's funny. But she would come up. She dealt with a lot of difficult things. I work in the medical field, so I'm an occupational therapist. She's a nurse. I'm married to a nurse too, but so is Nate. But they deal with a lot of different. No, you're a different kind of spirituality dealing with children, right? With your wife. I watched her deal with a lot of different difficulties, but somehow she would come into a situation and the energy would shift because of her. But I found out, you know, she had told me, in the course of getting to know each other that she, you know, had psychic abilities, that it ran in her family. And she said, I can read you sometime. And she took me to another part of the hospital and I told her, I said, oh, I'd love that. I think that would be fascinating. So she did, it was like a half an hour, 45 minute session. And she said the same thing you did, or you've been saying. It's like, you know, it's like, I'm not going to go into this extraordinary, you know, light and candles and all this stuff, but we're just, you know, I'll talk about what I see and feel. And, you know, she talked about the energy of my children and my wife and, you know, the things that she saw. But she told me this was back in 2010, 2011, something like that. And so maybe, I don't know, I can't remember if all three, our last daughter was born in 2013. So it's somewhere in that area when we had all our kids. And, but she told me that I had a lot of stories in me. And she was like, I think you're going to write a lot of books. You're going to tell stories. And she said, the guy that's going to help you he's very tall. He wears dark clothes. And there's just something about him that when he comes into your life, he's the one that's going to help you to tell stories. And so I thought, I don't know any tall guy that's, you know, wears dark clothes. And so she, you know, time went on. I met Todd in 2017. We started this podcast during COVID, and she, you know, she's been into it. She's, you know, keeps up with us and listens. And so she said she had never seen Todd, and she saw a picture of his. He got the Jeepers Creepers tattoo of him on the cross, and it's on his arm right now. I can see it. And you took a picture of that
thing.
And she goes, that is exactly what I saw, was like the Jeeper Creeper, kind of this tall, lanky. And
I don't remember that part.
And then, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought I told you that part. But and she said that Todd is the guy that I saw. But it's all like that's because, I told her, I said, you know, he never wears like dark clothes. But she said the trench coat part of it had to be like that tattoo she was seeing.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
So, but she said, she goes, so those stories are, you know, like more, we didn't know what a podcast was back then, you know, podcast. Yeah. So, you know, new and, you know, I didn't start listening until 2015, 2016, maybe.
Yeah.
And, so it's just funny that she was able to tell me this. And later, so she goes, remember when I told you that? And I said, I absolutely do. But I would have never thought that that's who you were talking about that helped me bring stories into existence and manifest.
That's so cool. I love it.
A cool story.
Yeah. That's maybe awesome.
The creeper was your, the person,
yeah. Well, yeah, come on, I'm waiting, creeper.
That is cool. Gosh, this has been fun. It's a fun guest chat. You definitely brought something different. Like I said, we haven't had anybody with your spiritual gifts on that I can remember. It was really cool and talking about all the places you've been to, and it's really cool that you've been in Indiana, like the sanatorium and the asylum and all that. It's really neat. And maybe since we're close, maybe sometime down the road we can hook up and check out some of those places
together,
you know. Yeah. Before we let you go though, Charisse, please tell our listeners how they can follow you on you know, social media, any you know, again, name of your books or whatever, so they can find you.
My website, charissewilliams.com, has all the links that you could need. I'm pretty active on Instagram. My name there is charissewilliams.xo. And then my books are on Amazon, The Witch's Guide to Ghost Hunting and The Witch's Guide to Haunted Objects, and be nice if you get the Goddess Life book, but that's on there as well.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on. And again, I apologize about last week. It just would not have sounded good with me not being able to talk.
It might have been better.
It would have been better. No, but thank you for being flexible and understanding. And we had a blast, and we'll have you on again down the road. So we appreciate it.
Oh, Thanks. Oh, and watch the documentary on Tubi.
Yes,
oh,
we're
yeah,
gonna
yeah,
watch. I'm watching that. Yeah,
I wrote it down. So it's on Tubi.
Tubi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, we've got Tubi.
I have to say, and our listeners aren't going to see this because you're on Zoom with us, how we got to talk to you, but you are slowly turning into a shadow person on your
camera. I am. And then
I love that.
Can you see the skulls?
Yeah, oh, like, yeah. Yeah,
oh, I put those up on Halloween, and then I was like, I like that for just all the time. So there they stay.
That is.
I know. I was going to get up and turn the light on at some point, but I was like, oh, well, we're talking. It's fine.
Great.
it's spooky this way.
The effect.
Hey, hey, like we talk about, hey, you know, creepy doesn't, it's 12 months out of the year, right? It's 365
days.
Anything absolutely supernatural, paranormal, creepy. So, well, Charisse, we appreciate it. Thanks again for coming on, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. This is great.
Yeah,
thanks, Charisse.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So there you go, creepies. Miss Charisse Williams was excellent, and we appreciate her coming on.
She was awesome.
Yeah, she was.
I like her.
Brought a different angle, right?
Yeah.
With the whole spiritual guide, mediumship, and all that. Tarot cards that we really haven't had anybody on.
Yeah, and you said it really well, where this was
I didn't,
a good...
But it,
you did not.
I kind of was trying to say it as well as I could.
Okay, you didn't say
it
well, but
insulting to others out
there. I understood
there
where it was. Yeah. I think she was afraid you were going to be like...
About her.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I was... Yeah.
But I thought that was a great introduction into somebody with these kind of gifts. So I think she was just awesome.
I like when she said her daughter has this, you know, mm-hmm. but her yeah. daughter's kind of not quite sure about it, you know. Yeah. So and who else was
her son?
Yeah, but her aunt or somebody is
aunt.
Afraid.
Yeah,
yeah. Afraid is going to be full blown, like, oh,
or you can be like me and just be a 2x4,
or just yeah,
or a brick
unaware.
That you throw in a pond. That's
that was crack about as 2x4.
Much as much sensitivity. I guess.
Therese goes, yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Like,
no, I wish I'd.
I know.
Had more or knew how to hone it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all this stuff. I love investigating. I love the experiences I've had. But, yeah, I am not super sensitive to things.
Need more flashlight is what he's saying.
Yeah. Hey, you're a master with the flashlight.
That's right.
That's right. You know, we all have our gifts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to use a flashlight. No. Yeah, it was fun to talk to her, and we'll have her on down the road, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So coming off of that, Sean, I think it's going to be a middle-aged moment.
It is. Honestly, I think that should be called that. It's somewhere in between the two.
Well, I called
it. We're going to lean towards middle-aged moment because okay. I think it's more appropriate.
Don't make me bully you into it.
This is the Eagles.
Oh.
And I was.
Now we're talking.
And even when we were talking, because I had picked this up before we talked to her, and as we're talking to her, I'm like, this is going to be a perfect one. I almost said to her, like, I have the perfect middle-aged moment, but I was going to let her figure that out on her own. This is Witchy Woman.
Ooh.
And, right?
Witchy Woman.
Yes, it's fantastic. So, Don Henley, raven hair and ruby lips, sparks fly from her fingertips, echoed voices in the night. She's a restless spirit on an endless flight. Ooh, witchy woman, see how high she flies. Witchy woman, she got the moon in her eye. She held me spellbound in the night, dancing shadows and firelight, crazy laughter in another room, and she drove herself to madness with a silver spoon. Ooh, witchy woman, see how she flies. Ooh, witchy woman, she got the moon in her eye. And I'm not going to go through the, I'll let Nate do all the ahs. And, well, I know you want a lover. Let me tell you, brother, she's been sleeping in the devil's bed. And there's some rumors going around. Someone's underground. She can rock you in the night till your skin turns red. Ooh, witchy woman, see how high she flies. Ooh, witchy woman, she's got the moon in her eyes. Now, the interesting thing about this, and I have to impart this information as well, is how they came up with this. And because I love this backstory, so I'm going to do this real quick. But Witchy Woman was written by Don Henley and Bernie Ledden and released on August 1st, 1972 as the Eagles' second single from their debut album. Bernie and I just sort of stumbled upon Witchy Woman. I was living in an old house in the Hollywood Hills on the corner of Camrose and Tower near the Hollywood Bowl. Bernie was living way out in Topanga Canyon, but he came over one night and I started playing this strange minor key riff that sounded sort of like a Hollywood movie version of Indian music. You know, the kind of stuff they play when Indians ride up on the ridge while the wagon train passes below. It had a haunting quality, and I thought it was interesting, so we put a rough version of it down on a cassette tape. Shortly after that, I came down with the flu. I had a very high fever and became semi-delirious at times, and that's when I wrote most of the lyrics. I was like, nice. Wow. Awesome.
Whatever it takes.
Every time the fever subsided, I would continue to read a new book I'd gotten on the life of Zelda Fitzgerald, and I think that figured into the mix somehow, along with amorphous images of girls I had met at the Whiskey and Troubadour, an important song for me because it marked the beginning of my professional songwriting career. Went to number 9 in the charts. So I just love that backstory, and that there's a haunting quality about it. I like the fact that she's a warm personality, but she's got this like really cool side, some gifts, some magic, you know, all wrapped up with a lot of love and empathy. So that one is for you. I love that song too. But I love the Eagles, by the way. And Witchy Woman is a favorite of mine.
You know, Charisse does have on her Instagram, says author and spiritual guide, sharing tarot, paranormal adventures, holistic well-being, and a witchy life.
Mm-hmm.
So
I did read that.
I think.
Yeah, right. So it all just pointed to that song. So shout out to you, right?
Excellent. Excellent.
Witchy Woman in the best way possible, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I liked it. Second announcement, Sean.
Yes, you can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Rumble. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's 2 A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Please spread the word about our podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome-looking merch, so go get you some. Please check out our Friday Frights videos on all of our socials. If you'd like to sponsor our podcast, whether you're an individual or business, we offer multiple levels. Just email us or message us on Facebook and Instagram. The IG.
The IG.
The FB and the IG.
That's right. Excellent. Sean, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Nate.
Yes.
It is your turn, sir.
Well, let's lay this witchy woman to rest and call it a wrap.
Mm.
I like that.
I don't like it. No,
you don't like it? Do it again. No.
Thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 170 and our guest chat with Miss Charisse Williams. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.